Awesome, y'all. Well, give it up for the band. That was amazing. So they go off the stage. Well, we have a special privilege today because we have a special guest that I wanted to introduce to you guys who's going to speak with us today and continue our series, Who Do You Think You Are? And so this is my friend Thomas Moyer. Thomas leads North Dallas K-Life. Some of you guys, any Kanakuk fans in the room? A lot of you guys. So Thomas, whenever we think about somebody we want to share at Wake, we want to think about somebody who connects well with students, who's passionate about your generation, and who loves God's word. I know that to be true about Thomas's life. And so we're really excited for him to continue our series. I know he has a great word for you guys this morning. And so I'm going to welcome us to the stage. If you guys give him a round of applause as he jumps up here. Awesome. And so I'm going to pray for him real quick, and then we are going to dive in. So bow your heads with me. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's living and active. Thank you that we don't have to do life alone. Thank you that you've given us your word to teach us, to guide us, to transform us. You've given us a body of people to walk alongside. And Lord, thank you that you are a personal God who came to be personal in the form of Jesus. I pray that we wouldn't just say that, but we believe it, that we believe in your finished work on the cross, Lord. And I pray through this message, we just be encouraged by the fact that we don't have to figure out who we are. But we are who you say we are, and we can rest in that. Lord, we love you, and then we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay. All right. Wake, how we doing? Come on. Man, I was sitting back there, and the middle school row guys in the back were getting hype, and so I was feeling the energy. Way to go, guys. Man, it is so good to be with y'all. I know Austin already introduced me, but my name is Thomas. I live up in Frisco, Texas. Raise your hand if you know where Frisco is. Okay, all right, we're on the map. Let's go. Come on. Well, it is good to be with y'all. Like Austin said, I work for K-Life, and so I spend a lot of time with middle school and high school students. And man, it's a great time. I love this church. I don't go here personally, but I've spent a lot of time here at Watermark around Wake with this amazing staff, and I know some of y'all's leaders who are the real heroes, just to say. And are you guys thankful for your small group leaders? Come on. It's amazing, man. Come on. Well, tell how much you love them and care about them. Make sure they know that at all times. And I'm just excited to be here with you guys. I'm excited because you guys are going through a series right now that I think is so, so important. And so you guys are trying to answer the question that I think so many middle schoolers, I know for me when I was in middle school, this was a question that I asked all the time. And it's, who am I? Who am I? What is my identity? Who am I in the world? Who am I with my family? Who am I with my friends? And most importantly, who am I in the eyes of God? And so what I want to do, guys, is I want to open up, if you have a Bible with you, go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read a few verses. And we're going to be in verses 3 through 6. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. I'm going to read the verses. I'm going to pray over us one more time, and then we'll jump in, all right? Ephesians chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, it's going to be behind me, or you can just listen to me. So, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved." Let me pray. Well, Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the chance to open up your word this morning. Thank you, God, that you have not left us alone in this world, that you have given us a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, that you have given us what we call the Bible, which is your inspired word. You reveal to us who you are. You reveal to us who we are before you. You tell us about your amazing son and what he's done on the cross for us. And then you lead us and you guide us in life where we can have joy in life with you. Father, thank you for Ephesians. I pray for every person here, leader, student, staff member. Father, I pray that right now you would rescue us from just another Sunday gathering, that you would rescue us from you know, showing up, sitting, playing the game, listening to the message, and then leaving unchanged. Father, I pray that you would do something special this morning. I pray that you would remind us of who you are, that you would help us to see that you love us, and ultimately that you would remind us of our identity, that walking with you is where life is found, and who we are in your sight is where we can have life and joy. Father, we love you. Thanks for this time. Pray that you would use it. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of the first jobs I ever had was at this amazing 5-star restaurant. Like, amazing. Like, impossible to get a job at. They're known for their burgers. They're known for their sandwiches. They're known for the desserts. You name it, they got it, right? It was impossible for me. It's really impossible for anybody to get a job. Somehow I got a job, and I worked there for 3.5 years, which, if you don't know, that's longer than you will be in middle school, Lord willing, right? I spent 3.5 years at this amazing establishment, and one thing that sticks out about this restaurant is they have a logo that's really easy to see. And maybe you've seen it kind of, you know, driving around. It's gold. It's very bright. Some have said it kind of looks like an M. I would say it looks like arches. That's right. I worked for 3.5 years at the greatest restaurant in all the land, McDonald's. That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's a picture. You can't tell. I'm on the left. And it was amazing. It was a good time. It was a good first job. I learned a lot. It was really greasy. And I ate a lot of burgers, which probably wasn't best for my health. But we're good. We're past that. But I remember as I worked there in high school, it was interesting. I felt like that's all people knew me as. They were like, that's the McDonald's guy. Like, it was weird. Like, I would walk up into friend situations, and they'd be like, hey, guys, this is my friend Thomas. We go to the same school. Oh, did you know he works at McDonald's? Did y'all know that? It's a fun fact about him. He cooks burgers all the time. It's amazing. And I'm like, bro, like, I'm more than a fry cook. What are you talking about? And so I remember one time I was playing Friday night football, varsity. It was amazing. I was sitting on the bench, but it was great. I was on the field. And I was there, and one of my friends, it was Halloween night, and they're like, okay, student section, you're going to dress up. And one of my friends went to my house, grabbed my uniform, and dressed up as me. And so I'm sitting on the sideline, you know, handing the good players water, and I'm turning around, and I'm like, what is going on? What is happening? And guys, my name got tied so much to this idea of working at McDonald's that I felt like that was just part of who I was. And so maybe you're asking, okay, why is he starting here? Outside of showing you my loyalty to McDonald's, when I would walk into a room places, I would often ask myself this question, man, I wonder what people think of me. And maybe you've asked that same question. I wonder what people think of me. Who am I before the eyes of others? And honestly, if I were to answer that question, I felt like, you know what, they just see me as a fry cook at McDonald's, right? He's just the guy that flips burgers. He's the guy that, you know, gives out Happy Meals each Friday night, right? Like, that's who I thought I was. And what's fascinating about our conversation today, guys, and what's amazing is that we're going to see in Ephesians that when God looks at us, when he looks at you, he doesn't see simply what you do or what you don't do, right? He sees so much more than that. He sees something completely different. He sees who your true identity is. And because of Christ, we have an identity that can't be shaken, and we have an identity that is so much more important and so much more valuable. And so I want to talk about this. I want to answer this question today, and it's this. When God looks at me, what does he see? When God looks at me, what does he see? And he sees a lot of things, but we're going to look at two truths today that I think are going to be helpful for you, and I pray are helpful for you as you walk out. And it's the answer to this question, we found out who we really are. And what's interesting is everyone wants to know who they are in the world, right? Three important things that we need to know is everybody asks that question. Who am I in this world? What's my purpose? Why do I exist, right? People ask that question even if they don't even realize it. Because people want to know what their value and purpose is. The second point we need to know is everyone places their identity or they answer that question in some way, shape, or form, right? My identity is in my sports accomplishments. My identity is in my grades. My identity is in how many friends I have, right? Whatever it may be for you, we all place our identity or our purpose or who we are in something, right? And what oftentimes happens is we place them in the wrong things, and it leads to pain, shame, guilt, anxiety, and the list goes on, right? And so I want to talk about who we are because it's so important, because our identity leads to activity. Our identity leads to our activity. What do I mean by that? Who you are, middle schooler, impacts what you do. Who you perceive yourself to be impacts how you live. And so if we don't know who we are, we won't live in a way that honors God. And we won't live in a way that brings joy, peace, and life the way God would want us to have, right? And so that's what we're going to look at today. And so when God sees us, what does he see? Well, look at verse 4. We read verses 3 through 6, but we're really just going to be in verse 4 for the most part this morning. And this is what Paul says. Read it with me again. He says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. What's our first point? That in Jesus, we are holy. In Jesus, we are holy. And we're going to look at, okay, what does holiness mean here in a minute? But God says in the beginning, he says, hey, before the foundation of the world, God chose us. Which may sound confusing right at the top of your head. Like, what does that mean? It just means that in God's grace and kindness, he has selected people to be Christians. Out of his great love, salvation, it's the big word that we talk about with being saved and forgiven in Jesus. It's all from God. It's from him. And there's amazing benefits that come with being in a relationship with Jesus. And so that's what Paul's doing. He's listing out these benefits of walking with Christ. And the first one is that we are holy. And so what does holy mean? Holy means to be set apart. It means to be set apart. And it's normally a word we use when we talk about God, right? We say God is holy, holy, holy. There's multiple places in Scripture that talk about that. It means that God is set apart from creation, that God is set apart from humans, that God is absolutely perfect, that there's no trace of evil in him. And so what are you saying, Thomas? Are you saying that we're holy like God, that we're perfect? That's not what I'm saying. And Paul's going to talk about that here in a second. But Paul is saying that, hey, you are set apart people for his own purpose. And what is that purpose? That is to know him. And I think what's going to help us understand and just kind of see that a little better is at the beginning of verse 4, he says, hey, we were chosen in him. We were chosen in him, right? And who is the in him? Who is Paul talking about there? He's talking about Jesus. He's saying that when you put your faith and trust in the gospel, you didn't just put your faith and trust in a message. You put your faith and trust in a person, in a person. And so Paul's now saying, hey, when you become a Christian, your life and Jesus' life is so united that when God looks at you, he sees Jesus. Like your life is hidden with Christ. Your relationship is no longer with the world, but it's with God. Your relationship is no longer with the world. It's not primarily with your friends. It's not primarily with the things that you like to do. He's saying, you have been set apart for me. You have been set apart for a relationship with my son, Jesus. You are holy. You have been set apart for the Savior. That's what Paul's trying to say. He's saying you have been set apart for the Savior, which means that you have value, which means you have worth, and it means that you are precious in God's sight because of Christ. And so in Jesus, we are holy. And I think if we're just honest with ourselves, guys, I think this can be a hard truth for us to really kind of swallow at times, right? Because I don't have to think hard for myself before I start coming up with things that I thought this week, said this week, did this week. When I was in middle school, the things that I thought, said, did, that I look back on and I regret, right? That brings me great shame and guilt when I think about those things. That there have been times where I've committed a sin or done something that I knew I shouldn't have done, and I felt like he created a distance between me and God. Like, I just felt like God was done with me. Like, I can remember being in middle school, and I would go to these church classes on Wednesday nights. My mom would make me go, and I would sit there in this classroom, and they would talk about, the teacher would just say, hey, this is what the Bible says, this is who Jesus is, and this is how God wants you to live your life. And I would basically leave with a set of things that I need to do and not do in order for God to love me. And so I would leave these classes, and I would go home, and I would be a terrible older brother, right? Like, I would make fun of my little brother. I'd belittle him. I would speak back to my parents. I'd dishonor my mom. And I couldn't tell you how many nights that I would go to my room, and I would sit down, my head would hit the pillow, and I would just feel the crushing weight of guilt and shame that, man, if God were to talk to me right now, he would say, how dare you, right? That's how I felt. I felt like there was no way that God could love me. And maybe that's true for you in this room. Maybe there's things you've said this week, done this week, thought this week. Maybe there's something that you're hiding right now. Maybe it's something you did last month. Maybe it's something you're keeping from your parents or your small group, right? And you are feeling the weight of guilt, and you're feeling you're feeling shame. The weight of guilt and the brokenness of shame. And I just would say to you that the message of Jesus, guys, here's what the message of Jesus is. It's not clean yourself up and then come to me. It's not that. It's not go get yourself right and then come to me. The message of Jesus is this, that when you blow it, Jesus is there. That when you make a mistake, God is there, right? And he's calling us to confess these things, right? Because God wants to forgive us. He wants to. He wants you to be in relationship with him more than you want to be in a relationship with him. Isn't that amazing? And so I don't know everybody's story in this room. I don't know what people are walking in with. But if you are feeling the weight of guilt and shame, if you are feeling like, man, I need to confess something today, I would encourage you, tell your small group leader. Tell a staff member. Tell mom and dad. And above all that, tell God. Because in Jesus, you are forgiven. In Jesus, you are holy. That is who you are. Through faith and trust in Christ, your identity and your value is not in the things that you do or the things that you don't do. It's in Jesus, because you have forgiveness in him through trust and faith in him. And so in Jesus, we are holy. And then he says in verse 4 as well, he says, not only are we holy, but we're also blameless. In Jesus, we are blameless. And so blameless is really similar to this idea of holiness, guys. The audience of that time, the Jewish people, would understand exactly what Paul was talking about here. That Paul was looking back to the Old Testament, and when the people of God, the nation of Israel, wanted to relate to God, or they wanted access to God, they would have to provide a sacrifice to approach him. Because God is holy and perfect, and people are not. The only way to unite or bridge that gap was through a spotless lamb, is what the Old Testament would say. A lamb without blemish, right? And so, well, we have that today, right? And by blemish means like no defects or spots. There was a lot of different stipulations for that on what, you know, constituted as spotless or something that was you couldn't sacrifice. But that's what the people of Israel had to do. And what we have in Jesus today is we have a spotless sacrifice in him, that we have a spotless lamb that we can get to God with, that we have access to God because of Jesus' amazing sacrifice. He's the perfect spotless lamb that we need, and he is the blameless lamb that we need. And so in relationship with him, we are united to him, and because Jesus is blameless and because our lives are hidden with him, when God sees us, he sees Christ. When God sees us, he sees Christ. That we are completely blameless, that we are completely spotless in the sight of God. Not because of anything that we've done, but only because of his goodness. And only because of the righteousness and perfection of Christ. And so we are blameless in him. And for some of you in this room, that might be hard for you to believe, because all you can think about is your shortcomings, right? All you can think about are the ways that you've fallen short, that you have made a mistake. But what's amazing is that while you might see your shortcomings, God sees his Savior. God sees his Savior. That you are united to Jesus. That is where your identity lives. It's not in your shortcomings. It's not in your mistakes. It's in Christ through faith and trust in him. There's a verse in the Old Testament, Isaiah 1:18, where it relates to this. This is what Isaiah says. He says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they should be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they should become like wool." What is this saying? What Isaiah is doing is the Old Testament and the New Testament are connected on this one truth. That when we put our faith in the provision of Christ, that when we say, "Hey, I'm done trying to earn God's love. I'm done trying to earn salvation. I'm done trying to do the right thing so God will love me," right? No, I'm going to trust and accept the free gift of faith, the free gift of salvation that I have in Christ. That when you put your faith in him, your sins, though they might be like scarlet, are as white as snow. That you are washed, you are clean, you are completely forgiven and secured in him. That's the message of the gospel. That because of Christ, you don't have to worry. You are spotless in him. You are without blemish. You are blameless. It reminds me, when I worked at McDonald's, for the longest time, I just flipped burgers. And it was really annoying because it was hot and greasy back there. And I was like, I want to be around people. They're like, okay, you can do the back register, which is terrifying. You got the headset on, you're taking multiple orders at once. But it was actually a really fun job because I got to meet a lot of different people. And so people would come through the drive-thru line. And when I started working there, I didn't know what this was. So this was the first time I experienced it. But something called pay it forward was kind of a thing that was going on at the time, where a car would come up and I'd be like, "Sir, you owe $11.52. And so they would pay for it. And then they would say, "Hey, could you also just pay the bill for the car behind me?" And I was like, "Is that allowed?" I was like, I'm like calling the manager. I'm like, do we do that here? Do we pay for other people's cars? Like, I don't know what's going on. And then the next person would come up and I would say, "Hey, I just want you to know your Big Mac and two medium fries was taken care of by the car ahead of you. You're good to go." And before they would start going, they would say, "Oh my gosh, that's so amazing. You know what? Could I pay for the car behind me? Is that okay?" And I'm like, "I think so. I mean, we just did it once. I mean, I guess it could happen twice." And then the next car would come, and then the next car would come, and we would just do the same thing. I remember one time I had like 11 or 12 cars go through, and people were just paying for everybody's orders. And I'm like, what is going on here? I was like, is this allowed? Is this legal? And what was amazing about that is that's a picture of what Jesus does for us. That a car went ahead and he paid for the debt behind him. The car in front said, "You know what? I'm going to pick up the tab so they don't have to." And what Jesus has done is he has gone before us. He has gone before us to a cross and he has paid the debt you and I deserve. So there's no longer wrath, no longer guilt, no longer shame. You are forgiven in him. Jesus has gone through and he has paid the debt for you and I. That's where our identity lies, guys. We are holy and blameless in his sight because of Jesus. That's who you are. That's who you're rooted in. And it's as sure as the resurrection of Christ. And Jesus rose. He's yours. And so what do we do in light of that, right? What do we do in light of that? How do we now live holy and blameless lives, right? Because that's the message of the gospel, that you have been saved to live a changed life. You have been redeemed by Jesus. Now you walk with Jesus. And so if we are made holy and blameless, not because of anything that we do, but purely because of what Christ has done, we now get to live lives marked by that. And so how do we live holy lives? Well, I just want to give you a few things that I think would be helpful. Just four takeaways that spell out the word holy, so hopefully it's easy to remember, a little acronym. But four things that I think will help you walk in holiness and blamelessness today. And the first one is this, the H, his word. His word. How do I, as a middle school student, live a holy and blameless life? Not because I'm earning God's love, but because I've been loved. It's through his word. God's word has been given to us to know him and to walk with him, to know what he's like, to know who we are, and what it looks like to take a step-by-step relationship with him. And so my question to you today would be, how often do you read the Bible? And that's not like I'm trying to guilt trip you, but it's just a genuine question. How often do you read the Bible? When I was in middle school, I never read the Bible. I wasn't a Christian, right? But But guys, when we spend time in God's word, God does something to our hearts and our minds, and he changes us, and he makes us more like his son. And so my challenge to you would be, man, if I'm not, I don't have a time, a place, a plan, I don't have a thing set up where I'm reading God's word every day, I would encourage you, man, carve out 20 minutes in your morning. Get up 20 minutes earlier than when you normally would and go through a chapter of John a day. Go through something because God will use that to impact you. He will use that to make you more like his son. And he'll use that to help you live a holy and blameless life. The second thing I would tell you is others. Others. Who do you spend time with? I always tell my kids up in Frisco, I say, hey, you are the average of your five closest friends. You're the average of your five closest friends. Think about the five people that you spend the most time with, and those people impact you the most. They impact your thought life. They impact what you say. They impact what you do. They impact where you go, how you spend your time. Who are the people you're spending time with? Are they pushing you closer to Jesus, or are they pushing you away? Are they pushing you closer to Jesus, or are they pushing you away? Because those are the friends you want, the ones that push you closer to God and closer to his son. And so who are the people you need to add to your life today? Is there anybody that you got to start maybe backing off from, maybe removing them as a friend from your life, right? Because they're not pushing you towards the things of God, right? How do you need to change your friend group this week? And so look for friends who are going to push you towards Christ. The third thing I would tell you is love. Love. Guys, Jesus said that the world will know us by the way we love others. How are you doing loving your family? How are you doing at loving your younger brother or younger sister, or your older brother or older sister? How are you doing loving mom and dad? How are you doing loving your teachers at school, right? How are you doing loving the person that's hard to love? Maybe the person you don't like spending time with, right? How are you doing showing them the love of Christ? And I would encourage you, that is going to help you live a holy and blameless life. And then the fourth thing I would say is say yes to the Spirit. Yes to the Spirit. What do I mean by this? When you put your faith in Christ, you are given the Spirit of God. He's in you. And God prompts, he pushes, he points, right? He leads you more to his son. He leads you in truth of his word. And so I would encourage you, okay, is God convicting me, or is he leading me to confess sin today? Is he leading me to share my faith today? Is he leading me to change friend groups today or start reading a book of the Bible today? Whatever it may be, guys, as Christians, as people who live holy and blameless lives, we get to say yes to the Spirit. And so be in his word, spend time with the right others, those who are going to push you to Jesus, love people like Christ, say yes to the Spirit. And so who are we, guys? We are holy and blameless in Jesus. That's who we are. Because of his amazing grace, you don't have to put your stock or value or your worth in what people think of you or in what the world says. You don't have to look to things like sports or accomplishments or grades or friend groups to bring you life and value, because none of those things satisfy. It's only in relationship with Christ. And so who you are impacts how you live. Who we are is we are holy and blameless before God. And how we live is lives marked by love, holiness, and blamelessness. And so let me pray that that would be true for you. Father in heaven, we are so thankful, Lord, just for the chance to open up your word and be reminded of these two truths that we need. That our identity is not in how many friends we have. Our identity is not in our sports accomplishments. Our identity is not in what people think of us. Our identity is in Jesus. And because of Jesus, before you, God, that when you look at us, what do you see? You see that we are set apart for you, that we are precious in your sight, that we are worthy in your sight, and that we have value. And then when you look at us, God, we're blameless, that we are faultless, that Father, that we have been forgiven, that we have been cleansed. And it's not because of anything that we've done, but it's solely through faith and trust in you. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for loving us. And Father, pray that we would leave here living differently. We love you. Amen.